Well, good morning, everybody. It's my honor and privilege to be here. Let me get my jug here. It's water. Just in case my throat gets to bothering me. That happens sometimes. But it's a joy to be here and our privilege. Elizabeth and I live in a quaint little village called Eggleston. It is on the New River. And by the way, we've had a lot of rain and we almost got washed away yesterday. And or day before, wasn't it? quite a bit of storming going on and lots of rain. We're originally, as he said, from North Carolina. Elizabeth and I, we have three children, and we're blessed to have all three of them living close to us. And our middle child, Mark, lives across the road from us, and our daughter lives across the road from us, and then our oldest son lives just a few miles from us. Some of our grandchildren live close by, and then others live in Roanoke, and we have three great grandchildren. So we're doing pretty good. We're blessed. Some of you might remember, I don't know how long ago, but Mark, I believe, came and spoke in this church. Mark and Joyce lost six children at one time in an explosion in Michigan, and we wanted to mention that because he said he believed this was the church that he came and ministered to about grief. Any of you all hear about that? Okay. Is this speaker working? Can you hear me? All right. I just wanted to be sure. The sound seems to carry real well in here anyway, so I noticed. So thank you for bringing it up. Okay. And I want to speak this morning about something I think it's very near and dear to all of us. You have if you know the Lord is your Savior, then hopefully you have grown beyond simply just knowing the Lord is your Savior, but you have reached some heights and some places in your growth as a Christian to think about other things and how you can serve the Lord and what you can do for Him. And I think about one of the dilemmas that every Christian has is trying to know what the Lord wants in his life. In other words, trying to find the will of God. Now, can you know the will of God? Can you know some things? Well, there's some things you can know. The first thing you can know is whether you belong to the Lord or not. Some people don't think you can know that, but the Bible says you can. And 1 John talks about it quite a bit, and then Jesus mentioned about the same thing. He said that those that belong to Him cannot be taken or plucked out of His hand, and are neither out of the hands of God. And so when we come to know Christ as Savior, one of the first things that we want to be sure about is that we do belong to Him. And He gives us that assurance. We can know that. There's another thing we can know too, and that is we can know what God's will is for us. I mean, some people say, well, I never have found out for sure what it is. Well, God will tell you if you will listen. He will teach you and show you. if you will listen. That's what I want to talk about this morning, how one finds the will of God in his life. And there's some scriptures that are appropriate. Isaiah, for example, in the Old Testament, chapter 6. You remember the vision that Isaiah had? And Isaiah was, he was in the temple one day. And he had come to worship the Lord. Now let's think about the context of all of this. Isaiah was a fellow that loved the Lord. He was a prophet called of God. And Isaiah too had the access to God's word that had been written up to that time. He had access to God's word, to what was known as the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible, the books of Moses. And he knew quite a bit about what God had already written and passed down to them. So in Isaiah chapter 6, we read, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple, and above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying, and they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. So he was having a vision here, and this is what's going on. And at the sound of their voices, verse 4, the doorpost and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. And woe is me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. And then one of the seraphs, flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And with it he touched my mouth and said, See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. Now here's the key verse. Listen to what he said. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Now here's where he found the will of God. He says, And I said, Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. So we find Isaiah's account here of how God's will became known to him. He was to be sent of God to tell the things that God was doing. Now, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, we have some scripture here that I think is appropriate. Let's just read verse 1 too while we're at it. It says, Therefore I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will, God's will. So you'll be able to see what God's will is. It says it right there, doesn't it? It gives you the instructions right there. So God's word is plain if we'll just look at it and read it and then apply it to our lives. It's so good to see you out early this morning and come and hear the word of God. I want to talk to you about several things here, but you know, before we can even entertain the idea of knowing what God's will is, we must be a believer. must know the Lord as Savior, that Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins, that He rose on the third day to guarantee that we might have life. He put death to death when He arose from that grave. And in so doing, He's saying to us that I can bear your sins. I have borne your sins, really, on the cross. Now believe in me, for I have overcome death. I am life itself. You know, he said that He was the way and the truth and the life, didn't He? And so we find here then a person, one of the first thing he needs to do is to come to know the Lord as Savior. Now, there are five tenets, really, that I want to preclude here before we get into the message itself. And one of them is, God is the Creator. There wouldn't be anything without the Creator. God created it all. He put it together. He made man in His own image. And He made man in His own image to have fellowship with Him. You see, God wanted man for His fellowship. And He gave man the freedom to act so that he could honestly relate to God, to choose to relate to God. The second tenet is that man, he may have chosen to relate to God some, but he chose not to relate to God too. And he fell in sin. He fell in sin, and sin then not only entered into man, but it entered into the whole creation, the world. Sin defaced the image of God in man. But you know, God always has a plan. God is merciful. God loves us and cares for us. So the third tenet is that God moved toward man in Jesus Christ. And He moved toward man in Jesus Christ to redeem and reclaim him. The Bible says that God wants all people to be saved. Isn't that wonderful? He didn't want to leave anybody out. I always believed heaven's big enough for everybody that chooses to go. And even those that didn't choose to go, it's still room. The trouble is, they didn't choose to go. The fourth tenet that I want to preclude here with is, having been saved, we discover that God wants us to serve Him. And we discover that God has a purpose and a will for our lives. And all of the tenets are wrapped up in this fifth one I want to mention. And that is this. Then if God has a purpose and will or a plan for our lives, how do we find it? You know, it's not easy to do God's will, is it? Does anybody here think it's easy to do God's will? If you are, you're a much better person than I am. God's will is not easy. It's not because God made it hard. It's because we make it hard. It's because we allow things to come in to bother us and get in our way. Isn't that true? And it's not easy then to do God's will. It's often harder to know definitely God's will because we have things going on in this world. You see, the world had a curse put upon it in Genesis. There's Satan, there's the flesh that we live in, and there's the world trying to hold us back, tempting us. There are all these things competing for our time. And in our spirit, there's rebellion. Rebellion against God's will. But we need to look to God's word to find God's will. That's what we did with Isaiah, and that's what we did with Romans 12 too. But I want to mention also in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3, there is a beautiful, beautiful account of Samuel. It says, one night, verse 2 of chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, it says, one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here I am. And he ran to Eli, and he's a child, you know, he's young, and said, here I am, you call me. But Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you call me. My son, Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lay down. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. But the Lord called Samuel the third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you call me. Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there and calling as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel said, speak, Lord, or speak, for your servant is listening. And we could go on, but God's call, God was calling him. And the point there is that God speaks, and we need to listen. His word speaks very loudly, the Bible. I don't know about you, but every time I read a verse of Scripture, I'll be reading through the Bible somewhere or some part of the Bible, and well, I've read that before many times, and then all of a sudden it sticks out, something different, something I hadn't seen before. That's the Lord speaking. God speaks through his word. And I think we need to understand that that God speaks through his word. He's not confined to speaking through his word, but this is his major thing that he uses to speak to us. Speak, O Lord, I am listening. We must listen then for God's call and his will. Have you been in this place before, though? Things have crowded in. You're so busy. Family problems. Things that are school, for example, or work. Things at home. Children, grandchildren. Job. Things that that are very meaningful to you, but they're crowding in, and maybe you're worried about something, and you're not listening to the Word of God. Maybe you stop reading your Bible. Maybe you stop praying. Some people have the philosophy they don't pray until they've tried to reason it out themselves. God gave me a mind, I'm going to use it. Well, that's true, we should. But he never did say stop praying. He said pray, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. We need to pray. And our prayer life needs to be constant. And our Bible reading needs to be constant to find the will of God. So, but the problem is we sometimes have a one-way channel. This may be an example of some prayers that people pray. Lord, this is what I want. Whoa. Wait a minute. Lord, this is what I want. Red flags go up there, don't they? This is what I want. Wait a minute. So, Lord, you get me there, and if you don't want me to do this, just put a block in my way, and I'll do your will. But this is what I want. You know, some people do that. They put blocks in the way. They say it like this: Lord, I'm going to do this, but if you don't want me to do it, then I'll know it's not your will. Well, is that right? You ever been guilty of that? I expect all of us have at a time. But then we say, well, anyway, this is what I want. But we must pray differently. We must pray, ask the Lord to help you put away every idea you have about yourself and what you want, and just sit there and listen for God's word to come to you, for Him to speak to you. Read the Bible, listen as you pray. Sometimes we can't be heard for our much speaking, so prayer many times is listening as well. You know, we hear. Prayer is conversation with God, so give God a chance to talk. You know what I mean? And so we see here then that God's will might get through to us if we listen. But sometimes we do want to take our wills and ask God to rubber stamp them. And this is the thing that I think hurts us the most. But then, not only listen for God in His Word, but look at God's Word and read it and see what God says through the many people and prophets of old in His Word. Isaiah was disturbed about his vision of God. He had seen his train. In other words, the robe of God was filled in the temple, and there was smoke that filled the temple, and fire, smoke and fire. In the Old Testament, were a sign of the presence of God. And he was moved mightily by God's presence. Now, I know somebody might say, well, the Bible contradicts itself. It says one place no man has seen God. And then here Isaiah says he has seen God. Well, let's straighten that out. What Isaiah is saying is he's seen the presence of God. He is seeing the evidence of God. Have you done that? Yes. If you've accepted Christ as Savior and He's moved upon your life, then you've seen the evidence of God. You've seen Him change your life, begin to change your life, and salvation, becoming a Christian, being saved, is a beginning process where we start. You know, salvation, or it has three tenses to it. I was saved. I am being saved. What do you mean by that? I'm growing. I'm learning. I'm building up in Christ. I will be saved in that final day. That day when the Lord calls us home. That day when He comes to take away His church. I will be saved. So, salvation in three tenses. Past, present, future. Well, looking for God's will. He looked at God's presence. He saw the world for the first time through God's eyes. He saw Israel lost and dying. No wonder he was ready to say, "Send me," when God asked who he should send. You see, Isaiah came at a time in the history of Israel. Already the kingdoms were divided. There was a northern kingdom and there was a southern kingdom of Judah. And the northern kingdom was carried away before the southern kingdom of Judah was carried away in captivity because they disobeyed God and they angered God until the only judgment he could bring was to let them come under first the Syrians in the north and also then Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians in the south. And God, even then, worked with his children. For example, Daniel. Daniel was one of the children that was carried away. And he was carried away and he was in the court of Nebuchadnezzar. And he was told to eat the food of the king. He said no. That was a dangerous thing to say to a king, but he said no. Actually, he said it to those under the king, but the word got back to the king, of course. But God used him to interpret a vision of the king later on. He was in God's will, and he was a brave man because he knew God's will. Daniel. Well, Isaiah saw Israel lost. This was before they were carried away. And I would say to you, do you see this world in bad shape? I see this country hurting. I see this country that needs to go back to its roots. Go back to the Constitution itself, where the Word of God helped form, actually. Think about it. The Bill of Rights. All of these things in our Constitution of the United States of America were founded based on Christian faith, Judeo-Christian faith. A lot of folks don't want to recognize that, but it's true. And so let's think about the shape we're in, too. Here we are. Lord, let me recognize this world. One of the wills of God was for Isaiah. The will of God was to be sent to tell people what kind of shape the country was in and that they needed to repent and to change, which they didn't, by the way. Well, we can look at the world through God's eyes, and I believe we can begin to find the will of God for our lives. Now, there are several things I want to say quickly here. And this is this. You know, a number of years ago, a great scholar and pastor said it this way. He said there are three ways we can look at God's will. One is God is sovereign in his will. He can do anything he pleases. For example, he created the earth. He did that. That was God's sovereign act. Only God could do that and create the world. And then his determinative will. He can enter history and determine things to happen. For example, Jesus. God came in the form of Jesus, the Son of God, and entered this world and changed things. God determined to change things. He determines to change things in your life, too. Through the Holy Spirit, he comes and speaks to us and draws us to give ourselves to him. And we turn to him and ask him to save us. There's something called the permissive will of God. Now, the word permissive has become sort of damaged. But the word permissive You know, we talk about permissive parents, or we talk about permissive lawmakers, people that allow anything to happen. But now, this is not what this is. God permits things to happen. For example, because of God, man's fall to sin, and you read that in the book of Genesis very early, because of man's fall to sin, not only did man become tainted with sin, but the earth fell under the curse. And this earth is a dangerous place, folks, to live. You get in your car, you're taking your life in your hands. Every time you turn that switch on and you put it in gear, especially if you got a teenager driving. Excuse me, kids. You take your life in your hands. The earth is not a safe place. There's no guarantee of living tomorrow because of tragedies. Tragedies happen, and we have no explanation for them other than it is this world that is under a curse. Well, all right, how can I know God's will for my life? There are three characteristics of God's will. First of all, Romans 12:2 told us that His will was good. He knows all things. He wants what is best for all of us. And God's will is good for the one who does it. Secondly, God's will is acceptable. It fits us just right. Now, you go to the store and you go to Walmart and you buy a pair of clothes, a pair of jeans or a shirt or something. You better go try it on because they're all made certain ways, certain sizes. And if you're like me, your size has changed. And you go to a store that can alter the clothes and you might get fitted better. But God's will fits us just right. God's will is tailor-made to fit the Christian. And then the third thing, God's will is perfect. It is complete. It always leads to the right point in your life. So then, I want to mention these tests for God's will very quickly. The test of knowing God's will, the scriptural test. Does what I do or what I think God's will is for my life, does it line up with the Word of God? Does it line up with the Word of God? The scriptures instruct us and equip us on doing the will of God, and God never leads us to do anything that would be inconsistent with His Word. And the second thing, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit guides us. You know, when we became a Christian, the Holy Spirit moved into our lives. He took up residence in our lives. The Bible says, did you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? He lives in us. And so in living in us, then He's there to guide us. All we have to do is listen to Him and see where He leads. The Bible says, try the spirits, whether they are of God. So sometimes we have to make sure. And then there's another test, the opening of doors. If God wills something for your life, He'll provide a way. And He'll open a door for you to go through. He might close one too. So opening and closing of doors helps us to know where God is leading. Helps us to know where God's will is taking us. 2 Timothy 1:7 says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He expects us to reason things out. So that fourth test I want you to think about, it just makes sense. I don't think God expects us to do anything that doesn't make sense. Because he said he gave us a sound mind to think with, and this reasoning out of the will of God can only come after prayer and fasting, Jesus said, and checking to see if God is in it, checking to see if it lines up with the scriptures. So come to this point. First of all, how can I know the will of God? Well, you can't know it unless you know the Lord himself. And you must know him and accept him as Savior. I don't know if there's anybody here this morning that has not made that decision yet, but I hope, if you are here, I hope you might make it today to accept Jesus Christ as Lord. And then after you accept him as Lord, you will be able to find his will for your life. So we're going to sing a closing hymn, and we're going to ask for anybody that would like to make some kind of decision or commitment to come forward. I'll just stand here and wait on you. And number one, is it to accept Christ as Savior? Number two, is it to rededicate your life? Number three, is it just to seek God's will for your life? Ask for prayer. Is it to join this church? Whatever it may be, we'll be standing here waiting on you. And the hymn is Just As I Am. Everybody that's been in church a while knows that one.